I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Ruth, and that little book of Ruth in chapter number 1, the first chapter of the book of Ruth. We just read a few verses from this passage of God's Word, and we read the first 5 verses as we come to this book of Ruth. It is a book that blends both the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. And of course, that is a solid teaching of the Word of God. We see the sovereignty of God everywhere in the Bible, but also we see the blending of the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. And we're going to look in this little book, and I pray that God bless. I did a first message with the Bible class, we'll be looking here. But I do believe that the Lord is directing me in this passage, bearing in mind the situation that our brother talked about with Daniel, because Daniel purposed in his heart. He made the right decision. And we come to choices that we make in our lives. And we find here in the book of Ruth, we have an improbable situation that God overrules. A family that's falling apart, and God picks up the pieces. And in many lives today, that's exactly what's happening. Their lives are falling apart. But thank God we find that God is able to step into the midst of the situation. And God is able to change the situation for us. The book of Ruth chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to this little book and we thank Thee that, Lord, that Thou hast given to us to instruct us. We thank Thee in the midst of all tragedy. We see the sovereign hand of a sovereign and almighty God. Realize, our God, our Father, that choices were made, and how important choices are, because there's a responsibility upon man. But we thank Thee for the sovereign grace of God. We thank Thee that, our God, that Thou, in the midst of all the situations, and seems whenever life is falling apart, that Thou art still able to make something beautiful out of a tragic situation. So, Lord, I pray that You'll teach us as we study Thy Word, and help us, our God, to hear Thee speak to our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. It's hard to believe that this beautiful story of Ruth takes place at a time that the Bible calls the time of the judges. Look at verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Those were dark days in the land. It was a time of anarchy. It was a time of apostasy. It was a time of apathy. We find that sin is ruling on every hand, as it were. Sin's rampant. And yet in the midst of all the darkness, we find this beautiful story, the wonderful story of a woman called Ruth. And what we find is this, that we're reminded that God still reigns even though man regarded not God, that God was still sovereign. See, the Word of God tells us here that Ruth was a Moabitess. In other words, she was from a heathen background. And the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23 reminds us that the Moabites were excluded from the nation of Israel. But we find that this Moabitess, she yields herself to the covenant God of Israel. And we see a wonderful illustration of the grace of God manifested to the Gentile people. Now, you and I live in dark days, and many of God's people despair. But let me tell you, you don't need to despair, because God is still working out His plan. And I can tell you, God will work His plan according to His sovereign purpose and His sovereign will. And no matter how far a person is away from God, there is no person that is outside the reach of God's grace. Ruth had everything against her, but the Lord saved her. And I want you today to rejoice in this fact, that no matter how far your loved one is away from God, friend, they're not too far for God to reach them. That God is able to reach them right down in the very pit of sin himself. God is able to reach down there, and God is able to take them and save them by His sovereign, matchless grace. It's no secret what God can do. Now, the book of Ruth is the eighth book of the Bible. Eight in the Scriptures is the number of the new beginning. New beginning. And friend, let me tell you, events in this book take place during a time when nothing seemed hopeful. In other words, everything seems lost. And yet, through the grace of God, a new dawn comes. For God is able, even out of His darkness, to manifest a wonderful light. It was a time of violence. It was a time of lawlessness. It was a time of sin. And yet, when we come to the book of Ruth, we see tenderness. We see love. We see devotion. We see victory. We see blessing. We see sacrifice. Now, the Spirit of God, through the inspired writer, tells us in verse number 1, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Now, the days that the judges ruled spanned 350 years. It was a time, as I said, of idolatry. Immorality was everywhere. Man was self-centered. He was self-interested. He was self-seeking. The people took what they wanted. They worshiped what they wanted. They engaged in whatever sin they wanted. Because if you look in the last verse of chapter 21 of Judges, in verse 25, in those days there was no king of Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's exactly the summary of the age. And friend, that's exactly the summary of our age. That every man is doing just that which is right in his own eyes. Nobody can tell me what to do anymore. You see, it wasn't there was no law, because God's law still was there. It wasn't there was no king, because God was a sovereign king. But they had rejected God. They didn't want the rulership of God. They didn't want God's rule and God's law. And when God is rejected, when God's law is defiled, then judgment will surely follow. And I want us to come in the midst of this situation. I want us to come to the choices. The choices they made. Because the Holy Spirit of God draws our attention to a family. Look what it says there. A certain man, he his wife, and his two sons. And so the Spirit of God is drawing our attention to a family that made choices. Now, whenever we come to it, it says here, the man was of Bethlehem, Judah. Now, the word Bethlehem means the house of bread. In other words, it was the house of plenty. We find that here, it was a fertile agricultural area that had been so richly blessed in the past. And yet it says here that there was a famine in the land. There's no bread. The word Judah means praise. Praise the Lord. Praise Jehovah. And there was a time whenever there was much joy in Bethlehem because there was a house of bread. But they've lost the joy. There's no joy anymore. And then we find that he was an Ephrathite, it said there in verse number 2. And the Ephrathite means fruitful. Fruitful. Prosperity. And so the place that they were living in and the background which they were from, it was a place of plenty. It was a place of joyfulness. It was a place of fruitfulness. And yet that all's gone. It's all gone. And maybe there's someone here this morning in God's house, friend, and be honest before God, you enjoyed feasting on the bread of life. That's on the Savior. You enjoyed the praises of the Lord because the joy of the Lord was your strength. You look back on your life and there was real joy in your life. You look back in your life and there was fruitfulness because you were doing something for God. You were used in the work of God. But listen, it says there was a famine in the land. And you've lost your joy. And you've lost your fruitfulness. And you're not enjoying the bread of God. That was the age in which this man lived. Now let's look at his name. His name is Elimelech. And Elimelech means, God is my king. Or my king is God. Now that reminds us that he was brought up in a God-fearing family. Being called by that name. Because this was a time of apostasy. This was a time when people had gone away from God. And yet we find that Elimelech's parents, they called him by this name, God is my king. And thank God, even in a day of apostasy, there's still a faithful remnant. There's always a faithful band who will take their stand for God. Like Daniel that our brother preached on, like Elijah in his day, like Enoch in his day. Well, here was a family, parents, and they had a child, and they called him Elimelech, bearing testimony to the sovereignty of God. God is my king. But the sad reality is this. He might have a name that speaks about God. His name professes that God is his king, and yet we find by his actions he walks away from God. And maybe today you have a name of being a Christian, but by your actions you've walked away from God. Now there's a famine in the land, friend, and let me tell you, that's a trial. But the child of God faces trials. There is not one child of God, friend, that does not face trials. But let me tell you, whenever you face difficulties in your life, you can do one of two things. You can either embrace what God sends and accepts what God sends, realizing that God's a wise God. God, in his providence, knows exactly what he's doing in your life. And you can embrace what God is doing in your life, or you can try to turn away from God. Try to escape by human wisdom. In other words, instead of choosing God's way and allowing God to fulfill his plan and purpose in your life, choose your own way. And that's exactly what Elimelech did. He didn't embrace what God sent for him. He rebelled. He decided to run away. He decided to go into another land. And that's what the Bible says, that a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and he took his wife and he took his two sons with him. He made the decision. He made his choice. And your life and mine is surrounded by choices. And friend, you can make the right choice, or you can make the wrong choice. And Elimelech, it says he went to sojourn. Now notice that word. He went to sojourn. That means he only intended to stay a little while. He didn't intend to stay for a while. Just a little while, temporarily. It means, the word there, sojourn, means to dwell as a stranger, living as a guest or stranger in a place without holding citizenship. Just went to sojourn. That word, of course, was used by Abraham and concerning him, because he sojourned. Because you see, we're only here for a little while. We're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. So that was his intention, friend, to sojourn in the country. But look at the end of verse 2. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. He went to sojourn just for a little while. In the midst of this moment of trouble, he made this decision that he was just going to pack up his bags and he was going to take his family. They were going to go just for a little while. A little temporary stay. But the Bible says they continued there. Let me tell you, do you know how long the family stayed? 10 years. See, how do I know? Verse number 4. And they dwelled there about 10 years. But it's a sad thing. Elimelech didn't stay 10 years. He never came home. He stayed there. He died there. He never came back. He intended just to sojourn just for a little while. And I can see him in the midst of this situation. And I can see the devil coming to him and say, you know, Elimelech, your best plan, listen, there's a start of a famine here. Your best plan is look after your family. You must put your family first. And your best thing is just, listen, just go down into Moab and go down there for a few days. You're not going to stay for a long time. You're only going to be for a little while. Stay there till the famine's over. You know, Elimelech, nobody will blame you. You put your family first. But you know there's something missing in all of this story, friend? Where's God? He never asked God. He made the decision. He made the choice. And he steps out of the will of God And he goes down into the land of Moab. Yes, because there is a famine there. You remember Abraham? He did that as well. The Bible says he went down. God had called Abram to leave his father's house and to go in the book, the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. And God says to him, listen, come with me. And then the Bible says in verse number 10 of Genesis chapter 12, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. That's exactly what he did. He went down. He moved out of the will of God. And friend, he went to Egypt. And he nearly lost his wife there. By his decision. Yes, there is a famine. And it's not easy, friend, to face it. But you know, every test is an opportunity for you and I to trust God, to prove the sufficiency of God, the faithfulness of God. And instead of trusting God, Elimelech decided to go down to Moab. Now, where was he going to? Moab was a pagan country. Moab, in actual fact, was the enemy of Israel. And without seeking the will of God, without seeking the face of God, without asking God, listen, he made a fleshly decision, not a spiritual decision. He made it according to the eyes of the flesh, an ungodly choice. And he went in the wrong direction. What was wrong with Moab? Moab had been the enemy of Israel. Moab had invaded Israel and had kept the Israelites under subjection for 18 years. Moab worshipped idols. Moab worshipped Chemosh, which is associated with the practice of sacrificing children and other pagan gods. In actual fact, that God says, Moab is my washpot. Psalm 60, verse 8, which means the bowl used to wash dusty, dirty feet. That's what God said Moab was. But that's where Elimelech went. Moab means of my father. In other words, man's decision. Instead of seeking God's face, instead of asking God, you see, Moab came, was a son of Lot by that incestuous relationship with his older daughter. The Bible tells us Moab was a doomed country. Where do we find God's child? Down in Moab. But then he doesn't go himself. He takes his wife. He takes his two sons. His wife was called, verse number 2, Naomi. That means pleasant one. Gracious. Sweetness. But even from her own confession, look at verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. The gracious one is now bitter. Because of Elimelech's choice. Choices. The choices that we make. And then we find that not only was she had, it was her Naomi, but there was a son, and his name was Mahlon. Now, the interesting thing was this, the names of the sons. Elimelech was called God is my king. But here's the proof, friend, that Elimelech had wandered away from God. Elimelech wasn't walking with God. Get the two sons' names. And one son was called Mahlon. What does that mean? Sickly. Unhealthy. Who would call their son that? The other son was called Chilion or Killian. And that name means weakness or wasting away, failing. Now, probably that had got to do with their bodily conditions. It is very possible that they were ailing from their birth. But they called their sons. Listen, there was no mention of God. Do you remember whenever Joseph was blessed and he had children down there? There was Ephraim and Manasseh. Do you remember? He called them. And I tell you, the names that he called his children were relationship to God. Even though Joseph was down there in Egypt, he never forgot God. But here's a lad that was brought up in a good home and blessed in a good home. God is my king. That's what his parents called him. And he calls one of his sons sickly or unhealthy, Mahlon, and the other weakness, wasting away, puny, Chilion. Choices. Choices. But there's a confusion here. It is true there was a famine in the land. And yet we find that whenever Naomi is thinking over her life, this famine had not gripped the land whenever they left into its depths. They weren't suffering from a great famine whenever they decided to go. Yes, life was uncomfortable. Yes, there was problems and difficulties in their lives. But notice, it was at the first sign of trouble that they walked away. It wasn't in the depths of the trouble, because in verse number 21 of this book, it says this, I went out full. Went out full. And the Lord hath brought me home again empty. There was a willful rebellion against God. You see, they made their choice with the wrong motive. It was all to do with their physical situation, the famine. It wasn't seeking God. Yes, they were in a difficult situation. But you see, friend, what about worshiping God? They were going to Moab, a place of paganism, a place of idolatry, a place of awful sin and debauchery. And yet they were taking their sons there. Not a bit of wonder, friend, whenever they got there, their two boys married two Moabite-esque girls in disobedience to God's will. Because the father made the choice with the wrong motive. They saw the decision that their father made, and they followed their father's footsteps. And I say to parents today in God's house, Daddy, Mommy, be careful the decisions you make, your children can follow. Very quickly as we close, look at the change. Verse number 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left of her two sons. Why did they leave? Because there was a famine. They're going because they wanted to live. All their bodily wants and needs would be supplied down there in Moab. And yet it's an amazing friend. Even where there was plenty of food, Elimelech died. I was just thinking about that thought. Remember the rich man in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16? His barns were full. And yet death came and took him away. There's no place that's free from the grip of death. He went to Moab to preserve life. Instead of that, he lost it. Think of the grief. Naomi's husband is dead. But you know something else? Life goes on. Do you see that? Life goes on. You say, how do I know that? Well, it says Naomi's husband died. She was left. And her two sons. But then verse 4 says, and they took them wives. Life's going on. Sometimes you think, friend, listen, if I wasn't around, that life will stop. I won't tell you, you're only fooling yourself. Life will go on. Your family will go on without you. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. You see, the house was filled with grief. Elimelech's dead. But now we see the laughter once again coming into the family. See, the laughter, the tear-stained faces of yesterday are now the smiling faces of today. And they marry two women. But they disobey God. They only went to sojourn, stay as strangers for a little while. And now they're married into them. Is that not true of many? Never intended to stay. Wandered a little distance from God, friend. Missed the prayer meeting for a little while. Missed the evening service for a little while, and then that became the common. Until their seat's empty. You see, whenever Lot went to Sodom, friend, he went to Sodom, but he never thought. The Bible says he pitched his tent towards it. And then the Bible says he dwelt in it. And then it says he sat in the gate of it. It became a part of his life. Didn't start that way. He just pitched his tent towards it. And the devil will seek to take you away from God, friend, just little by little by little, until you're far away from God. That's the subtlety of the devil. And here we find a family that only went to stay, or to sojourn, not to stay, but just to sojourn a little time. And now it says, they took them wives of the woman of Moab. They've wandered away. God had said the Israelites were not to intermarry with the people of foreign nations. Ezra speaks of that problem in his day in Ezra 9. Nehemiah faced it in his day in Nehemiah 13. And these two boys, they see how their father viewed the word of God. And they followed his rebellion. Orpha. This will go. Orpha means a portion of the neck or back. And friend, do you know what she did? offer turned her back on Bethlehem. And she went back to worship idols. Ruth means satisfied. She didn't find her satisfaction in Moab. She didn't find her satisfaction in Naomi. She didn't find her satisfaction even in Bethlehem, Judah. She found it in Boaz. And friend, satisfaction is found alone in our heavenly Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they dwelt there 10 years, and then it says this, and we'll finish. Mahlon. And Kilian died. Here's a father. He made a choice. He took his wife and he took his two boys. And friend, he died in a foreign land, away from God. And his two sons died as well. Be careful. Oh, be careful, friend. Don't make the wrong choice. Joshua said, choose ye this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, will serve the Lord. Elimelech said, as for me and my house, we'll serve ourselves. And his boys died. And so did he. Away from the will of God. May God help us to choose well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence this morning and realize today the solemnity and the seriousness of our choices. Choices that we make. Help us, our God, to say like Joshua of old, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here is a wee family that once dwelt in the house of bread, once enjoyed a heart of praise, and once enjoyed the fruitfulness of blessing. And yet they died away from God. I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've strayed. Lord, I'm coming home. May that be the cry of hearts today. I'm coming home. Lord, Elimelech, Mahlon, Kilian never got home. Lord, this is the day for homecoming. May the wanderer come home. In Jesus' name.